I have heard many times over the years, this is my first reading and I feel nervous, or even I'm scared from clients. So I wanted to interview some of my longtime clients so that you can hear what the process is actually like to get a reading. I promise, and I literally cannot think of an exception, and I've been doing this for 16 years, universally, everyone feels so much better after they have a reading with me. But why, you might wonder, or how, or what is it like? So this week, we will be hearing from someone who has been getting readings from me since the early 2000s, David Harshita Wagner.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimé Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. Welcome, everyone. I am so glad that you're here, especially because today I have a special guest. This week, we are demystifying the experience of getting a psychic reading. It is something that people are often scared or nervous about. That's something I've heard many times over the years when someone is getting a reading from me for the first time. So I wanted to bring on some of my longtime clients so that you can hear from them. I can tell you until I am blue in the face that people are always, and I literally can't think of an exception, uplifted after they have a reading with me. But I think it's more interesting to actually hear from a client of mine about the reading. So I have invited my dear friend and longtime client, David Harshita Wagner. I call him Harshita. Welcome, Harshita.
So happy to be here. Yeah.
Thank you for being here. You guys can't see him, but I can see his face. And we don't get to see each other very often. So it's very satisfying to be in real time together. Okay, so let's just dig in, because I want other people to know from the point of view of a client what it is like to get a reading from me. And actually, let me start. I know I just said let's dig in, but what I want to start with is a little bit of background with from my end of when a person comes to me for a reading, prior to them ever getting on the phone with me, before my first client of the day, I meditate, I do my, I guess I would call it attunement, where I am really clear that what I am looking for is the answers that serve my client's highest good. So at the beginning of our reading, I pretty much always say the same thing, especially if you're a new client of mine. When I'm talking to Harshita, I hardly ever say this anymore because he's done readings with me for so long. But I would tell you something like, I get a lot of information from my guides, and so this is your chance to speak with your own divine, benevolent, ethereal guidance. So you want to ask whatever you need to know, and I start every reading by asking that whatever be revealed be for your highest good. So that's the setup when you and I start. But I want to hear from you, Harshita. What is it like? Like, tell us as if you were describing, if you were describing the process to a friend.
Yeah, well, I'll just say that. Also, I should say that I've done a lot of readings, you know, like I've done different kinds of readings, different kinds of consultations with people with different kinds of gifts. Some of them, you know, seem very powerful and tuned in, and some of them, frankly, don't. And one of the reasons why I keep coming back to get sessions and readings with you is because, one, it's very helpful, and I think we'll talk more about that. But two, the process and the experience of it is so straightforward.
Mm.
And talking to you about whatever it is that we're talking about in a reading, even though it is very mystical and it is very mysterious, it is so down to earth, and I don't want to say ordinary because I feel like it is extraordinary,
mm-hmm.
but it's not different than when you and I are talking about our kids or about some other thing in our life.
Right.
It's just talking to you,
mm-hmm.
and you're just helping me look over a fence that I can't quite see over in this moment. It's kind of like that.
Totally. I love how you describe it. And this isn't, you know, Harshita, as I just said, is a longtime friend of mine. I think we've known each other since the early 2000s. And that's not the case for probably, let's say, the majority of my clients. Like, most of them I will never see in person. I don't know them, anything. But I, from my end of it, especially when I'm talking to a friend, it feels like, there's a sheet, like imagine like a clothesline and there's a sheet hanging on it. When it is a friend, that clothesline and the sheet hanging, it blows up occasionally. Just like even in my regular life, like when you and I are chatting, think like it might blow up and I will see something that is far beyond reaching what we're talking about. But when I'm doing a reading for a friend, it's like the sheet is just ripped down and now I'm just like looking straight at all the things that are, I want to say maybe hidden, but that's sort of what I mean, but you get what I mean. So I love the analogy of the fence that you can't see over. Perfect. So good. Okay. So what happens when you get on the phone with me? Like, describe it like you're telling somebody else. How does this work? What goes on?
Yeah. Well, I'll talk about you in the third person.
Okay.
That's
how I talk. Sounds about fine. Thanks for letting me know.
I'd say, so you get on the phone and after a little bit of a centering, I like to do a little bit of a centering. She will usually light a candle, I believe, and say a prayer or state that intention that everything that is revealed is for the highest good. And then usually I'll have some questions, some pretty specific questions, and then she'll share back with me what she sees. Sometimes she'll interrupt my question because something will come already straight away that is superseding what I think my question is. Sometimes there's a question that needs to be answered that I don't even know. And it's very interesting. It's very cool. And it always feels very like spot on. Like it's always the experience of like, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. Sometimes there's some surprising things. Oftentimes there's things that I definitely was not thinking about, but it always feels very resonant.
Mm. I love that. It's satisfying. I think I love that when that happens for people. I think it's most often the case, but because I don't know. I think the soul knows, you know, and when it hears certain things, it's like, ah, yes. Okay. Thank you for saying that out loud. So I love it. So, and interesting that you mentioned lighting a candle and saying a prayer. I think you're referencing to the what I mentioned is like how I begin, like with, and I actually usually say I may interrupt you, just so you know, I may interrupt you if I need to get you information. And I don't know, I never do the lighting on the candle on the phone. Or like, I don't ever mention it out loud, but you just pick that up. I actually always have a candle lit in my studio when I'm doing readings. And actually, I have it lit when I'm doing anything, like when I'm writing, before I do any of my work for the day, I light the candle and align with my intention and source and to be a pass through. So I love that you mentioned that because I don't even think you actually knew that. Or maybe it came up in conversation.
it's my psychic gift.
Totally. Coming through. Okay. So do you have any memories of, actually, before we go to that, so I want to, what happens when you know you need a reading from me? Like, how do you know to call me? How are you feeling at that moment?
Yeah. I love that question. And I feel like this is a really important thing. Especially from my point of view as someone that works with people and am an advocate for people finding their own answers too.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So I will, I'll tell you when I don't reach out for a reading also,
okay. Good.
Which is when I'm in an immediate moment of desperation.
Excellent. Thank you for that.
because sometimes that can happen where we'll get hit with something and then we just want to reach outside of ourselves. And instead, what I will do is I will do everything I can do to get all the answers that I can get in a given moment, which means, you know, perhaps intuitive work, meditation work, that sort of thing, but also just common sense research and due diligence about things. And then when I get to the end of all of that, and there's still, like I said, like that fence that I just can't see, or there's something that just doesn't add up on the material plane, or I just can't get to the answer somehow. And is there some perspective that my peeps, as you say it, can give me that I just can't get here down on earth right now. That's when I know it's time to reach out and to get some of those answers.
I love it. I love that in so many ways. I love the moment of desperation thing because you guys, it's actually quite hard to, there is always a lag time when people call me, even if they do reach out in this moment, they can't talk to me right now. The reading is not going to happen immediately, but there is an element of, it's really hard when you're in a frantic mind to hear literally anything, like whether or not the person is like, this is the way or whatever it, when you're running that record, it's very hard to hear. The other piece that I love about what you said is looking for your own answers first. And this is literally what I, readings is a small, or I don't know, it's a portion of what I do, let's say, but what I really love to do, why I even have this podcast, why I do all of the other pieces is because I love to teach people, to guide them to understanding that they already have this inside. You do not need to be a professional psychic to get the wisdom. I consider your intuition the guidance and the compass of your soul. This is available to you, whoever you are, right now. So I love that you, I love your reference to yourself doing that process of due diligence. And I also love the reference of you, we are aligned in many ways. And one of them is pointing people to what's already inside, that you already have it. So I've often throughout the years described my readings as the shortcut. Like, look, if you can't, in your words, see over the fence, give me a call. Or if you just, you don't want to wait because you can't control the timing of when information arrives. If you need the shortcut, give me a call and we'll do a reading. But nonetheless, I truly also feel that you have everything you need to get this guidance. It's why I wrote my first book, because I wanted everybody to know, look, you can do this. You can do this, whoever you are. So thank you for that reference to that. Love it. Okay. So you've gotten a lot of readings from me through the years.
Yeah.
And I'm interested if any moments stick out to you, like, either a reading or whatever. And this goes without saying, but I'm going to say it on the air. What, I don't even tell people, you guys, who my clients are. I never say ever that somebody is a client of mine or whatever. I don't even tell my husband, literally. I recognize that most readings are deeply personal. It is between you and me, but I'm just the pass through for source or whatever. So obviously I'm not asking you to reveal anything that feels uncomfortable, but you've had so many through the years that I thought maybe there's something, like, what stories come to mind? What, anything that you think of?
Yeah, there's a couple. One is, I can remember I was living in New York City, and I just remember doing the reading, or maybe a couple readings with you, and I was walking in the woods in Central Park and talking to you on my headphones out in nature. And I remember one of the things that you said that they were saying, the peeps were saying.
God, when he says peeps, that's how I refer to the guides that serve your eye is good. It's like my shorthand language. Go ahead.
Yeah. And it was like, they're just saying, I don't even remember the exact words, but it was something like, just wait and see. Like, this is something that you just wait and see. And that was at a moment before so many things in my life changed, before a marriage ended and I moved and started a family with a, you know, whole other situation and whole other person. So that's one. I remember this other thing where actually when that next relationship was ending, and I was a mess, and this is an exception of when I did reach out in desperation, actually, now that I think about it. And I was saying that, like, for me, I just could not get a clear read intuitively at all on what was happening. And you said something to me that I cherish this teaching, and I use it all the time in my own teaching now, where you said that it's very difficult to hear the voice of your intuition. I think these are the words that you said, when the emotions are trumpeting in your ears.
Totally.
And now I've taken that and I've turned it into a noun, and I call it the trumpeting. And so when I'm working with someone and they're in the midst of a big breakdown or a big, like, raw moment of grief or whatever, I'll just say, okay, you're in the trumpeting. So during this time, you just have to, like, be in the trumpeting and just wait for that to pass before you're going to have any kind of clear insight on anything. Totally. So those are a couple.
So good. So good. I love that. And I love how you've made it into a noun, the trumpeting. Because it is true. I mean, as you know, as we were just talking about, that's the point. And I want to highlight this because, I don't know, we forget this. Like, if this seems like something everybody forgets, when you're in the trumpeting, to use Harshita's phrase, all that happens is the extreme whatever, the extreme pain, the extreme emotions, the, like, crappy thoughts where you're like, oh my God, this is going to be terrible. Like, all the yucky stuff. And the work in that moment is, one, if there's something that needs to be eviscerated there, then dive in and see, like, cry your eyes out, punch some pillows, like, whatever the emotion is that you're having. But also, It's the work of calming the nervous system ultimately and waiting it out in order to get to the other side. And that's the reason why I'm highlighting this, because I feel like it's this forgotten thing that we don't, we are so uncomfortable with the trumpeting that we're often like, get to the other side. Like, how do we get to the other side, or even see the other side, et cetera. But I can tell you that even if you don't get a reading, you see the other side by being with that space and then slowly moving your nervous system and doing what it needs to calm yourself to the other side. And then you're like, oh, okay, that sucked in every possible way. And there is light here, and there is a movement forward and something different. So
one of the things that I've learned from working with you, and I mean, that's the thing, is that I really do think of you not just as a psychic, but as a teacher. And one of the things that I've learned from you as a teacher, kind of as an aggregate of all the times doing readings in a certain way, is that a lot of times we'll reach out to a psychic because we want to know how things are going to turn out. This thing seems like this. Is this going to, am I going to win? Am I going to lose? Is this going to, and it seems like at least my peeps don't want me to know. Like, that's not what they'll tell me. What they'll tell me rather is, here is the lesson that you're in right now. Here is the thing for you to learn right now. Here's the thing to look at that you're not looking at right now. You know, versus, and I'll always make a joke, you know, you'll be like, is there any other question? And I'll be like, yeah, what are the lottery numbers this week? and you'll like, no, that's not what we're doing.
That is not what I'm doing. That is not how I work.
But it's like, you know, that's part of it, is that you, at least, and maybe it's with me because you know that I am a sadhaka, but I think that this is probably your general orientation too, is just understanding that we're on journeys, and that, I don't know, to give someone a definitive answer, I think can really rob them sometimes, you know, of like how this is going to turn out, or when, how long this is going to be for, or, you know, it robs them the learning and the questions that we have that are unanswered or openings.
Yeah.
And so it's not like you're there to sew up these openings that grace is giving us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're just helping us move through these openings with more insight.
Totally. It's not just you, but it is also pertaining to the reading, I have to say. Like, some people are like this or that, and I'm like that or what. Like, I just trust, because I set my radar, I literally trust whatever comes through. And sometimes it's very precise. Like, you need to go this place, you need to live here, you need to, it's going to be in 3 to 4 months, like whatever it is. So that piece is variable, and it literally depends reading to reading. There's no pattern to it. It just depends on whatever it is in the best service of my client's highest good to know at that time. Right. But I still, I do say, like, the weight, well, actually that does happen, you know, because like you were giving with your example of like pretty much everything was about to change. So making a decision in one way right at that moment would not behoove you, because like everything was changing, the location, the stakes, the people, the blah, blah, blah. So I get it why they were, when I say they, I'm always referring to the guides that serve the highest good, et cetera, that I'm, but I also, my readings are usually always definitely perspective. That happens just naturally. Again, it's, I go with whatever comes through. I don't have an agenda about how this works, but typically I see that where I'm like, look, this is what's going on. You need to see this part of it, this perspective, and next actions, et cetera. I do find, and again, this is, it's hard to talk in absolutes because truly each reading is so different, but I do come up against sometimes where they're like, yeah, we're not. And I say, again, I'm talking to about guides that help me in my work. They're like, yeah, we're not talking about when he's coming. Like, if she's asking for like, where's my guy or whatever, I'm like, well, here's what I know about him. And they will be like, this is not a subject we are discussing. And again, I probably shouldn't even say this on the radio, because it gives this impression that so many times I'm like, I don't know, but that's not true. Most of the time it's very specific, but it is related to whatever is in your, as the client's, highest good to know. And that is what I trust. Whatever comes through, then that's what you need to know. So
I love that. I love that.
So good. And actually, this is just a funny little offshoot story, but reminding me of you saying the lottery. And this is a case where, as a friend, Harshita called me once, not for a reading. But I remember once when you were living in New York City and you were like, I cannot find my keys. How can you help? And I was like, yeah, that is not the kind of seer I am. So good luck. Ask your peeps. But I'm not going to schedule an appointment to tune in to find out where your keys are.
But you know what's really funny is that has become one of my psychic gifts.
Finding things?
And so like finding stuff. Yeah. It's really like last night the cat wasn't here. And I just tuned in and I was like, he's in a house or someplace like that, but not as a guest. Because he goes into people's houses here. And I was like, I don't know, but I know he's okay. So I could sleep. And then in the morning, it turned out that he was locked in our neighbor's garage. Because he sleeps in there. And they close the garage door. Oh, it's like stuff like that. It'll be like, where are my keys? And I'll just get this intuitive sense of like something being on top of them or something like that. So then I'll know to look under things. Or it's really funny, but I remember when I asked you that.
Totally. I remember too. It was funny. We both had a good laugh about it. I was like, yeah, nope, not the kind of psychic I am. But okay, so you talked about how it is, what you feel. And then, and you mentioned, I'm always in... You mentioned that you had readings from other people, and I think you already spoke to how I'm different or what it's not so much of how I'm different, but like, yeah, how, I guess how I am different from other readers. But is there anything else you wanted to say there since you've had other people?
Yeah.
Or do you feel like you've said it?
No, I think that there are some things where, one of the experiences that I had, full disclosure here, is I couldn't find my passport, and it was like a really serious thing. Like I had to like fly overseas like the next day and I could not find my passport. And so I ended up using one of these like online things where you pay by the minute.
Okay.
And I went through several psychics, and I was like, are you, because you had told me one time I'm not somebody who can find stuff. And so I'd just be like, okay, can you find stuff? And they'd be like, no. I'd be like, okay, next. I'll be like, can you find stuff? And they'd be like, no. And then finally somebody's like, yes, I do, you know, like help with that. And they actually did help me find the passport too.
I love it. That's funny.
But I mean, that's one of the things, is that you have this combination, because sometimes psychics are very trippy, you know, like literally I just talked to somebody like, where's a turban, you know, but not necessarily, it's like you have this combination of being very shameless about talking about yourself as a psychic and not trying to use all kinds of euphemisms. And at the same time, just talking to someone who's a mom and just a person. And I love that, because it's like, it's not ambiguous. In general, I really appreciate non-ambiguity. And sometimes, you know, I'll talk to someone who has some kind of a gift, and they're either beating around the bush about what they do or what they say, or they have a shtick, you know, and they just say all of these kind of like generally positive things that, you know, of course you're going to co-sign on. And it's like with you, there's some kind of, it's relational. It feels actually relational.
Interesting.
There's a person there. It's not just a caricature.
Right. I see what you mean.
A psychic or a reader or an intuitive or a channeler or something. And I think that that's a hugely valuable and actually rare thing in this industry. I'm using air quotes when I say industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah, that is fun. I so often hear how grounded I am, or my friends will be like, she's a psychic, but it's not what you think. She's literally the most grounded person I know. Or yeah. I've had people be like, what? Like when they hear what I do, because they're expecting somebody to be like, yeah. well, I'm sensing this, yeah. whatever. And I'm totally yeah. like, okay, here's how it is. This is yeah. blah, blah, blah related to. So good. Yeah. That's fun. It's always fun to hear how other people perceive you, because you don't hear it. You only see the world from your perspective, pretty much. So, yeah. I love it. Okay. So I mentioned that people often come to me for the first time and they're like I actually had somebody say to me the other day that she's like, I want to know about this, but I'm scared about what you're going to say. And yeah. that happens occasionally, but a lot of times in the 16 years I've been doing this, when a person is new, they'll express that they're a little nervous. They've never done this before. They're a little nervous or they're a little scared. And so can you speak to that? Like what would yeah. you say to somebody in that boat, considering what a reading feels like or how, yeah, if they're trepidatious, if they feel like they need it, but they're trepidatious in some way, tell us what it looks like from your perspective, please.
Yeah, I think that, some people are just going to be trepidatious no matter what, because that's just how they approach everything. So there's nothing you could do, right? But, if it's that they have a particular idea or an imprint about psychic readings, and that's where it's coming from, or just like the unknown factor, at least talking about your readings, I would just say, no, it's not like that at all. It's like the least scary thing that you can ever do. And if anything, it always has the effect of alleviating fear. Because it's like confirming things that are kind of like lurking around in my intuition that like I can't confirm.
Right.
And then eliminating things that are like, oftentimes fear is like, well, I'm just afraid of such and such. And the guides will be like, well, no, that's not the thing. Here's the thing. Like, don't worry about that.
Totally.
Focus on this. and it's usually something that is either actionable. Cause look, fear is like when there's some kind of threat that you can't do anything about. Right. So oftentimes, so it'll either be actionable. Like, here's what you can do. Or it'll be like, leave it alone. There's nothing you could do about this.
Right.
And in either case, that is something that gets me beyond fear and alleviates some of that niggly kind of anxiety energy.
So true. So true. I didn't think of it that way in terms of a client's perspective of it really, as you say, really, I don't think there's an exception. None is coming to my mind at this moment, but it's either yes, and then here's what you do, or yeah, no, that's not happening. But what you need to focus on is this. So I can totally see where no matter what, even if it's something crappy where you're like, yes, she is going to leave you or whatever, like I'm just making up something, but knowing that has this element of like, okay, all right, I can stop worrying about this and I can be like, all right, that's happening. So how am I moving forward? What's happening next? Yeah. Thanks for that. I like it. Okay. So, I'm just glancing at my notes here to see if I've covered all the pieces that I feel like people wonder about from time to time. Is anything coming to your mind to share while I do that?
No, I feel like I'm just sort of thinking back over all the years working with you and, the years, running into other kinds of mediums and that sort of thing. And just thinking about this aspect of, people's journey in general, where they're reaching out for, answers from astrologers or tarot card readers or, what have you. And I just think it's like, again, it's like it can just become part of a lifestyle in an unconscious way. and just like a super, you know, people are superstitious, and part of their superstition is that they're just always bringing in all these divinations and all these things. But I think that I don't think that I'm a superstitious person. And if anything, I'm kind of like an anti-superstitious person. But, and I can also see how it's part of a conscious lifestyle. And I think traditionally it's like that too, right? Where like indigenous cultures and different traditional cultures oftentimes, along with other kinds of learning and other kinds of experts, would also have an oracle in the village, or, yeah, you know, have some sort of source of that extra perspective, mm-hmm, that shamanistic perspective, mm-hmm, to use a word. And just how cool that is, and really appreciating the way that you carry that energy.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I have thought about that through the years. Sometimes I'm like, because psychic is like such a word. I mean, it activates, it like really activates people, and certain people and certain religions, they're like, it, if you say that word, it's basically like equivalent of the devil or the worst possible thing that they can think of. And for me, it was even, I mean, I always use the word, but it was a process of like, when I turned 40, I was just like, I literally give zero craps anymore. And so I don't, even if you have I literally do not care, because why, yeah, I'm just done even pretending I'm something else, because I'm just not. I am that yeah, person in the village. The seer is a word that I identify with. I am that person. It's just that there's not so many of the, like the village is different now. And so it's not as obvious, but it is a timeless profession that has been with us from the beginning of time. And, the other piece that I love about you saying that, or what it brings up for me, is if you've listened to any of my podcasts, you may have heard me mention the work of Dr. Lisa Miller. And she is this scientist who has proven scientifically, that's probably obvious, but that humans have an innate connection with the divine. These are my words, but like, there are very few things in our DNA that are universal to every human, and this is actually one of them. And I love this so, so, so much, because of course there are always oracles, and there always have been, and that is definitely a gift of mine to see out for people and see what's coming, those things. But also, and again, why I come back to the teaching I do and why I find this so fulfilling, also, you, whoever you are, also have this innate connection. You have an innate mystic inside of you and an ability to connect to so many things. I was going to point to your car keys, but I felt like that would be small, because I actually think that Harshita has far more connections to lost than just lost things. So in any case, the thing that is inspiring to me is, it's like the musician. I used to think of it, many years I described it as like, everybody can play music, everybody can sing, all these things. And there are people who are like, if there's music playing in the restaurant on the speakers, they hear the melody, or they hear the beats, or they know what time score it is, or all of these things. That's sort of how I always felt about being a psychic, of like, look, I'm innately tuned to this. Like some people are innately tuned to music, or they have whatever their other skills are. And yet everybody has an inner mystic. So,
yeah, I love that.
Okay. So maybe we'll just kind of start to wrap up here by talking about the end. So one, I want to know, how do you feel at the end of a reading with me? Because like I said, most people feel that they're going to be frightened, but they walk away and they feel so different. And then I have one other question about surrounding that, but let's just start with this.
Yeah. I think that almost always very reassured, I guess is a word, put at ease, hopefully intrigued, you know, hopefully like, and you know, so there, that sort of like, it's got two parts. Like one is like, oh, that's what that is. Yes. Okay, I'm not crazy. And the other one is, oh, that's so interesting. I hadn't thought about that before. I need to look into that and, explore that. And I think that those are the things. And as I said, in my readings, there's usually actionable steps to take. And so
That's
it's like,
universal.
okay, I've got a direction. I've got some things that I can do with this. And sometimes those actionable steps are chill the F out and just nurture myself and stop freaking out.
Those are always good ones. I would say that's universal to any reading that I do. There's actionable steps. I'm a very practical person. I know it doesn't with the word psychic, nobody ever thinks she's practical. They think turban and weird stuff, but I'm like, that's not how I am. It's not even how I'm built. It's not even how I use my own intuition. I'm like, it's not for cool sake. It's because it actually gets me on the place that I want to be, or it ameliorates the situation, whatever it is. It helps me know what's going on, or it helps me relax. For example, when I'm like, huh? No, I'm like, it's okay, whatever. So, I love that. That's very fun. And yeah, that's universal to all of my readings. It's about what you can do. Like, it's now what? There's always an action point, even if it's just a perspective that you need, or some, a way of considering the situation that you haven't. So that's true. Okay, so, and then this is something I frequently don't get to hear about. If people are a friend of mine, like Harshita is, sometimes they reach out and they're like, oh my God, this thing that you said, it's happening now. Or sometimes I've definitely heard from clients in years past of like, I did not do that thing, and now I know why you said that I should. And I often don't hear about this part because I feel like my job is done. I relay the information. I once had a child describe me as a cosmic operator, which stuck with me all that time. I'm like, yes, that is precisely what I am. So, but now it's up to my client. You get to choose what you do with the information. You can act on the things that came through. You can be like, heck no, I am not doing that. And whatever, you get to choose. I've just passed the message. So my question is, what happens after we hang up? Like, how does this reading inform or inspire, or even just what do you do with it in the days and weeks afterward?
Yeah, well, it depends, it depends on the information that comes through. Sometimes it's, very, very practical. I feel like oftentimes, and this just might be the way that I'm wired, but oftentimes my instructions are to stop doing something or to like stop worrying about something. There's nothing that can be done about this, or no, it's not that, just chill out. And so a lot of times it's like, it's I hate to use technological references, but it's almost like when all the apps on your phone are open or something that you're not using, just draining your power, and then you shut them off and then you have more power. It's like that. And it's like, in some things that you've said, I've like, because I'm a very contrarian person, and like years ago, like then, like in Central Park in like 2000, whatever, six or something, you were talking about my writing, and that I needed to write a book that was more like about me. And I was like, oh, so it's not about doing a commentary on the Shiva Sutras. And you were like, no. And so like I'm writing that book now, the commentary. I did write the book about me and other things, and I'm writing this book on the Shiva Sutras now. And like almost like it's something to like push up against or something. And just understanding, and it's given me the patience to wait until now. I couldn't have written that book. The book that I'm writing on the Shiva Sutras now, I couldn't have written that. You know, I can only write it now.
Totally.
And like that's a really good example.
I love it. That's fun.
If you tell me not to write it now, I'll just go to another psychic.
Oh, totally. Do what you need to do.
That I should write it now.
I'm not even looking at that. I absolutely trust your insight and intuition on it. I love it. Okay, so I think we've talked about it all. I think we've kind of, is there any, I feel like you've already mentioned this, but is there anything that surprises you about it, about getting a reading from me?
I don't think so. Yeah. No, I don't think so.
I'm pretty straightforward. Actually, I have done things on Harshada, who I'm going to talk about in a minute, because you all need to know Harshada, outside of this context. But he and I have done a bunch of Instagram lives over the course of us knowing one another. And one time you were like, one thing I love about you is you do this crazy mystical thing. And even the way that you describe getting there is so normal. It's just like so ordinary. And I feel that is true. And I actually feel that that is how intuition is and how it works too, that you think that it might be this like, there's going to be a voice from God, from the sky, or like some kind of a crazy experience. And actually you're just walking along and somebody says something and you're like, oh my God, yes, that is the thing. That is the way, that is the, all the things. So I love it. So I have this practice that it's not even a practice to describe it that way makes it, well, anyway, it makes it feel different than it really is. But when I'm doing readings and after I'm done with a reading and people say things to me, I often just like literally grab whatever scrap paper, if it feels important to me or if I really love it, because I'm the only person that hears all the things people say to me when they're done. And some of them are just like, they make me laugh. Or like one woman, she was like, that was the best half an hour I've ever had in my entire life. And it made me laugh because I'm like, I mean, I know that that's how it feels right now, but I truly don't think so. Like, anyway, so I just sometimes jot them down and I keep them in a folder in my office. And then I have another, this is maybe what is feels like a practice, though again, it doesn't, is I also have this folder on my phone that I call encouragement. And so like when I get texts from clients or my students or what, or even just girlfriends, and they're like, oh my gosh, you da 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 da, I like snapshot it and like put it in a little folder in my phone so that I can, I mean, I say I can look at it later, but I never look at it. But the one I have in my office, I do sometimes. And I have a quote in there from you that is literally my, like, every time I hear it, I'm like, heart melt, or hear it. Every time I read it, I'm like, heart melt. Oh my gosh. You once said to me after a reading, I think, I don't know, or maybe we were just talking on the phone, I really don't remember, but you said, I think you are a pool of wisdom and grace for others to drink from.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, that's so beautiful. So I like jotted it down on the little post-it note that was in front of my face, and there it sits ever since. But the reason I'm saying this is thank you for that, because it truly, it literally is just one of my all-time favorite things that anyone has ever said about me. And also, as a way of introducing, Harshada also is a pool of wisdom and goodness that many others drink and benefit from. So can we just kind of conclude this by telling, I want other people to know you. I want them to know how do they know they need you? What do you do?
Yeah. Well, recently I've been saying what I do is that I am a teacher of applied yoga philosophy.
Okay. So what does that mean?
I teach, you know, traditional practices and teachings that come from the yoga tradition in the bigger sense.
Mm-hmm.
And only the ones that, when I say applied, only the ones that are going to help people in their life.
Excellent.
In other words, I'm writing a book on the Shiva Sutras, which is this, you know, 7th century tantric text. But it's not a scholarly thing. In fact, the scholars are probably going to eviscerate it. But it's like how this is going to, how these teachings are going to help a contemporary seeker in their life. So that's an example of something pretty classical that I do. But, you know, I teach courses on the traditional teachings. I teach classical tantric practices and teachings, bhakti, which is like devotion. I'm mostly known as a meditation teacher, but what I do is actually like way beyond the scope of like sitting and meditating. I work with a lot of people one-on-one. And the descriptions that I like, one of them someone said is, I'm like a soul Sherpa. You know, it's like I don't make the mountain or climb the mountain for you, but I know the way up the mountain. And if you're nice, I might help you carry your pack. I've been up and down it many times with people, you know. And the other one is a spiritual midwife, meaning, you know, like I'm there for when the thing is happening. And to guide people through this thing that is happening. It's really between them and grace. It's, you know, I am just someone who has sat there and experienced that many times with people. So to help them move through that. So the way that people know that they need me or that they're ready for that is generally when they're in a moment where they're trying to recreate themselves or where life is recreating them, whether they like it or not. And they need support with that. And also for people that are really hardcore, sincere, you know, students of yoga or students of the spiritual path, that, you know, want to have sort of high level training in some of those teachings in a practical way, again, in a practical, non-scholarly, sort of non-academic way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love it. And I can confirm that you all, we, Harshita and I know one another from studying with a meditation teacher a long time ago. That's how we originally met. But I've also done one of his courses. He does many, but I did his Learn to Teach Meditation course. And I can just, you have such a gift for translating these ancient texts into what does that look like right now? Like as a this century being, and how does it actually inform you and inspire you? So inspiring watching you detail and talk about some of these ancient teachings. It was, for me, it was probably, anyway, it, as a friend, it was like, oh, like seeing your friend do what he does so well. That usually, you know, the conversations that we have are whatever related to parenting or what's going on in your world and work right now or whatever. Yeah. And so I can confirm Harshita is very gifted at this. And tell us your website for the, for, so people can find you
website
or Instagram or whatever.
Website is davidhwagner.com, but the most up-to-date thing is my Instagram, which is Harshita Wagner. And that's HARSHADA. WAGNER. And that's the most up-to-date channel for what's happening, I would say, is Instagram.
Perfect. Okay, so I'll put all his links in the show notes as well, so you can find them easily and do check them
thank
out.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. I value your friendship deeply, and I adore you. And
I feel the same.
And I really appreciate you coming on the show to talk about your experience with my work. That makes
Thank
me
you
happy.
For having me. I've really enjoyed this.
I love you, brother.
Love you too.
Bye-bye. I hope this episode put a little perspective on what it is actually like to get a psychic reading from me. It turns out it's not actually that scary of a thing. As always, you can find out more about me or my work at aimeecartier.com. I've also got loads of free downloadable items that will help you better tune into your own intuition, including a download on how to tell the difference between the voice of your intuition and your fear-based ideas. And the first part of my book, Getting Answers. I've also got loads of information for empaths, including how to tell if you are one. if you don't know. I know that you could be anywhere right now. So thank you for being here with me today. See you next week.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.